good to see everybody. It's been a long, I've been away from Wella for about a month, you know, so it's good to be back to our home, Wellard, and good to see everybody. And so, wasn't that a good time of worship? And thank you to the band and to Pastor Nami for leading us through that section. And so, we come to a time where we've started a new Bible series today, and it's on the book of Jonah. And so a small introduction, I guess, with the book of Jonah is that the book of Jonah is not about a fish or a whale, which is mentioned four times in the book. It's four chapters long. It's not about a great city called Nineveh, and that's mentioned nine times. Or about the disobedient prophet Jonah, mentioned 18 times. It is about God, who is mentioned 38 times, you know, and if you eliminated him from the book, the story would not make sense. You see, the book of Jonah is about the will of God and how we respond to it. And also it's about the love of God and how we share it with other people. And so this book comes at a time in the life of the Israelites where, you know, Israel stood tall among the nations, but from a political rather than a spiritual sense. You know, the reign of King Jeroboam II, this is the time that he was reigning. They expanded the borders of Israel, the greatest since the time of Solomon. But, you know, one of the things that meant in that culture was that this increased prosperity resulted in a materialistic culture that thrives on injustice to the poor and oppressed, you know. And this is one of the key messages, I guess, that Jonah begins to speak about. But the interesting thing is that Jonah did not speak that to the Israelites directly. He spoke that to the Assyrians. And so if we're to read, and so the title, I guess, even though we're going through this book called Through the Book of Jonah, is Am I Jonah? And so each one of you should ask yourself the question, and you can repeat after me, Am I Jonah?
Am I Jonah?
One more time would be great.
Am I Jonah?
Yes, that's an interesting question. And hopefully, by the end of the message today, we would have helped each other answer that question, Am I Jonah? And so if you look in Jonah chapter 1, and I'm going to read the whole chapter, and the Lord from the New Living Translation. The Lord gave this message to Jonah, son of Amittai. Get up and go to the great city of Nineveh. Announce my judgment against it, because I've seen how wicked its people are. But Jonah got up and went in the opposite direction to get away from the Lord. He went down to the port of Joppa, where he found a ship leaving for Tarshish. He bought a ticket and went on board, hoping to escape from the Lord by sailing to Tarshish. But the Lord hurled a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. So the message comes, it says, Jonah, get up and go to the great city of Nineveh, because I'm going to announce my judgment against it. And so, but Jonah did a surprising thing. Instead of going to Nineveh, which was probably 500 miles away, maybe that's 750 k's, he decided to go the complete opposite direction to Tarshish, which was the distance another 2,500 miles, we just say 3 k's away. So God says go one way. He says, I don't know about that. I'll go the other way. And I remember hearing a story once of a kid who the parents said, you know, please sit down, you know, and the kid was refusing to sit down. And the parent obviously started using a deeper voice until the child sat down. And the child says, even though, you know, I'm sitting, on the inside, I'm standing. And so the scripture goes, but the Lord, and I want us to hear this, but the Lord heard a powerful wind over the sea, causing a violent storm that threatened to break the ship apart. Fearing for the lives, the desperate sailors shouted to their gods for help and threw the cargo overboard to lighten the ship. But all this time, Jonah was sound asleep in the hold. So the captain went down after him. How can you sleep at a time like this? He shouted. Get up and pray to your God. Maybe you pay attention to us and spare our lives. Then the crew cast lots to see which of them had offended the gods and caused a terrible storm. When they did this, the lots identified Jonah as the culprit. Why has this awful storm come down on us? They demanded. Who are you? What is your line of work? What country are you from? What is your nationality? Jonah answered, I am a Hebrew and I worship the Lord, the God of heaven, who made the sea and the land. The sailors were terrified when they heard this, for he had already told them he was running away from the Lord. Now, that is the dumbest thing to do. If you're running away from the Lord, is to let everybody else know that, you know what, I'm going in the opposite direction than I should be going. And the guy said, oh, why did you do it? They groaned. And since the storm was getting worse all the time, they asked him, what should we do to you to stop the storm? Throw me into the sea, Jonah said, and it will become calm again. I know that this terrible storm is all my fault. Instead, the sailors rowed even harder to get the ship to the land, but the stormy sea was too violent for them and they couldn't make it. Then they cried out to the Lord, Jonah's God. Oh Lord, they pleaded, don't make us die for this man's sin, and don't hold us responsible for his death. Oh Lord, you have sent the storm upon him for your own good reasons. Then the sailors picked Jonah up and threw him into the raging sea, and the storm stopped at once. The sailors were awestruck by the Lord's great power, and they offered him a sacrifice and vowed to serve him. And again, now the Lord had arranged for a great fish to swallow Jonah. And Jonah was inside the fish for 3 days and 3 nights. I don't know about you. You know, whether you can recall the times where you were asked to do something by a parent. Can you do this? And you do the exact opposite. I recall in 1998, I was in Malaysia, and my father sent me money for a computer. And so he sent me money for it to buy a computer. He says, look, instead of coming back to Zimbabwe, why don't you, you know, stay there, and I'll send you money. You can use that airline money to buy yourself a computer. So I said, yeah, send me the money. And so he sends me the money for the computer, and I use the money to go to Singapore. And to his dying day, he thought I bought the computer, you know, but I didn't. And I never told him that, look, you know, I converted that money to personal use.
This one.
And so I don't know about you, whether there's a time where perhaps you've been asked to do something, and you really wrestled with that idea in your heart and said, look, I really, you know, where God is asking you to do something that seems a bit out of reach for you. And as you consider it, you're battling in your mind to say, Lord, I don't know. You know, it could be God is saying, I want you to give $1,000. And you sort of like, ooh, Lord, how is it? Are you sure that it's you, God? It's not the devil speaking to me? Because all of a sudden, when we're asked to do something difficult, it becomes easy for us to doubt and begin to wonder that, is that really God that I'm hearing from? And so Jonah, you know, was faced with a situation where he was asked by the Lord to go somewhere else. Now, you have to understand that Nineveh was the greatest of the capitals of Assyria. And Assyria was the mortal enemy of Israel, and it was established at the time of Nimrod, back at the beginning of time. And so the inhabitants, you have to understand, the Assyrians had a reputation for cruelty, and their specialty was brutality of a gross and disgusting kind. And so what they would do is that when they would go in and capture a city, they would really maybe, you know, chain people up through their jaws and tie them with a rope. These were very vicious and cruel people, and they were known for that. And so they were a mortal enemy of Israel. And so you can understand that God gave Jonah the directive to go and deal with these people. In his mind, he'd be like, Lord, surely you must be crazy. Do you know what these people are like? And what Jonah would have been expecting from God was that God would come in and destroy the Assyrians, because what he'd want God to do is to say, you know what, they deserve to die for all the things they did to us as Israelites. And so for us, I guess, when we begin to look at our own lives and how this context of Nineveh may relate to us, Nineveh represents the places God calls us where we do not want to go. You see, anywhere that looks like trouble or danger, it represents the places we fear. So those difficult things that God, you feel, is stirring in your heart to say, I would like you to go to that person and say I'm sorry and ask for forgiveness, or I want you to go and put $2,000. In no way am I suggesting you take $1,000 or $2,000. I'm giving an example here of something that may be difficult. And God is asking you to do something difficult, to pick up the phone and to call. And you're like, ah, I'm sorry, Lord, that ain't happening. And there's an internal battle that happens. And so I ask ourselves again the question, and I ask us that we would repeat this. Ask yourself this, am I Jonah? Am I Jonah?
Am I Jonah?
And so Jonah disobeys the call of God and says, Lord, you must be crazy. I am going there. But what he had was he had the wrong attitude towards the will of God. And if we go to the next slide, and I've just titled this, the next slide is the will of God. Because there is a real battle that takes place here. And the battle is what God wants to do and the things that I want to do. And so the funny thing is that when God asks us to do things, it's always going to stretch us from where we are. The question is always going to be, am I going to fight it, or am I going to go with it? You see, we have to understand that we find spiritual nourishment when we follow through with the will of God. You know that Christ says that my will is food to do the will of God. You know, to do the will of God was Christ's food. That's what gave him nourishment and energy. We get to a point, you see, when we contrast Jonah, who is saying that, you know what, Lord, I don't care what you're saying. I'm not going to do that. I'm going to go the opposite direction. We contrast that with Jesus in the Garden of Gethsemane, when he was now faced with a key decision. The crunch time was there where, am I going to go through this excruciating punishment, or am I just going to say, Lord, man, can you get somebody else? He says, if it is possible, let this cup pass from me. However, not my will, but your will be done. And that is the example that we should be following, is that when we look at the will of God, is that the will of God is very challenging, just as it was challenging for Jesus, because he would have understood what was coming up for him, that I'm going to be beaten up, I'm going to be spat on, I'm going to be rejected by God himself, and I'm going to go through some heavy pain. Now, if I was Jesus, I would have thought maybe 3-4 more times. I would have battled with the Lord. But the interesting thing is that it was only in that one discussion that he had. He says, let this cup pass over me. However, not my will, but your will be done. And it was settled in his heart that, you know what, I'm doing it. And so the key thing you see is that when you make a decision to say, I am going to follow the things that I feel the Lord has put on my heart, regardless of what may follow, the decision has already been made. You've already experienced the pain, because the biggest pain that Christ faced was in that garden, because it was in that moment where he had the choice to say, I'm going to turn back and do my own thing. But he said, you know what? Whatever comes, comes. And so the decision was already made. All that took place after that was the follow through of that original decision. And so the pain that we'll mostly face, the biggest pain we'll face is in the initial decision. Because that is where the battling happens. That is where there is a fight for the control of our will, the control of what our destiny is going to be like. But if we win in that moment, whatever takes place is not, it's difficult, but it's you've already won the battle because the decision has been made. And so to Jesus, the will of God was food that satisfied him. Whereas to Jonah, the will of God was medicine that choked him. And the real thing, whilst we don't want to be too critical of Jonah, is that that attitude stemmed from the fact that God was asking him to do an impossible thing. How am I going to go to those cruel people? Those people that possibly had done some harm to Jonah's own family, the Israelites. They were very cruel to them. And so, Lord, you should be punishing these people. These are not your people. These are not the Israelites, the chosen people. These are Gentiles, you know, and so God, you should just be taking these people out. And that's what we can feel at times when God is asking us to do something very difficult. Because we're like, Lord, they did this to me. They did this and this and this. And we begin to count on our hands and our fingers all the things that, all the wrong that people have done. But God is saying, I still want you to go. I still want you to do this. I want you to do that. I want you to go and ask for the forgiveness. I want you to go and do that thing that is impossible. Because if we can agree on any one thing, is that God is right. Can we agree on that?
Amen.
Can we agree on that, that God is always right? And so what we're doing, you see, is that if we believe that God is always right, it therefore means that we're going to try and say, Lord, you know, I'm going to do it. You know, I'll by deference to you, I will do it. And so, a few years ago, my grandmother asked me in 2008, I went to see her, she was very sick. And so I went to see her in Zimbabwe. And then she says to me, look, I want you to go and to give a bottle of oil. Now, whilst it doesn't make quite a lot of sense here in Australia, why the heck would you give a pastor a 5-liter bottle of oil? Back in Africa, you know, they normally give gifts to the pastors, you know, XYZ. So she said, go and give him a gift. And I said, nah, I'm not doing that. And so, and because, you know, like, in that church that they belong to, people used to say very mean things about my grandmother. Now, as a rightful and as a true grandson, I'm not going to take that. You know, anybody who comes against my grandmother comes against me. And so, you know, I said, nah, I'm not going to do it. And the battle that I had in my mind was that, do I love this lady dearly, that I want to defend her honor, and so I'm not going to go and take that. I'm going to say to her, look, in as much as I love you, this I'm not going to do, because those church people are very bad people. They've said this and this about you, so why the heck am I going to do that? So I'm in Zimbabwe, I call three people. I call my wife, and then I said, so look, there's this situation, what do I do? And she says, oh, you know, I think you should just take it. And I said, click, don't want to listen to that. So I went to the next person, and my friend said, and then all of them, well, my friend in Zimbabwe specifically said, do not do that. You know, and I'm like, yep, I'll listen to him. That's really good. And I called a third person up, and I read him as a message. And it was more like, you know what? In fact, my wife is the one who said, just do it. What it will mean for your grandmother, not for you. And so with gritted teeth, I took that that 5-liter bottle of oil, you know, and I went and I knocked at the pastor's place, and I knocked on the door and I said, hi, no, it's me, yada, yada, yada. I've come to visit the old lady, and so I thought I would give you a bottle of oil, you know. And so we chatted, you know, and then eventually he says, look, I said, look, I gotta go. And so he says, you know, let me pray for you. And so he began to pray over me, and he began to pray, and some of the words that he spoke were that, you know, I pray that, you know, that as you begin to pray for people, they'll be healed, all these kind of things, you know. And so when I left that meeting, I started thinking in my own mind that, what lesson can I take away from this? I mean, I ultimately did it out of deference to my grandmother, because she had asked me to do it even though I didn't want to do it. But I recognized that had I followed through with my own desire, which was to say, hell no, I'm not going to, there was a blessing that that pastor gave me. You know, I wouldn't have received that blessing. And so I went, and through gritted teeth, I still had to my grandmother, and I say, it's done. The deed is done. She didn't, she just said, okay, cool. But the key thing you see is that those were some of the last interactions I had with my grandmother. And so I can imagine, had I sort of like followed through with my own desire to say, no, I'm not going to do it, how I would be feeling now. That was her last request from me. If I can look at the last request, that was the last thing she ever asked me to do. You know? And I did it. Had I not done it, I now would be carrying some level of shame and some sadness of saying, you know what, if only I had listened to my grandmother. The truth of the matter is that whatever that pastor prayed over me, who knows the significance of those things? So I'm not necessarily giving that a lot of significance. What I am giving significance to is the battle that I had of whether I should do something or not. And I contrast that with the battle that we sometimes may have when it comes to doing the things that God has asked us specifically to do. In the areas God might have whispered something to you, but there is an internal battle that happens where we say, no, I'm not going to do it. And so you can understand that Jonah, through his patriotism to Israel, was that, Lord, you must be getting this wrong. Because do you know what these people have done? But God was sending a message to Jonah that I love everybody regardless of what they may have done. You see, it's in doing the will of God that we grow in grace and become more like Christ. So where we're faced with that choice where we become more like Christ. Isn't it interesting that throughout all the time that Jonah was running away, it seemed that things were going well for Jonah. He was able to buy his first class tickets on the running away from God, that everything seemed to be going well for him. And that can sometimes happen where we start to go against God and we find that all our circumstances seem to be, you know what, this is great. I'm disobeying God, but everything seems to be going in my favor. However, the day will come where God in his graciousness will begin to put obstacles in your way. And all the obstacles that he faced, like the storm, were trying to arrest the direction that Jonah was going. And so you can see that God in his graciousness, even when we decide to go against him, he will try and put some roadblocks just to get our attention. There was the sea, because it says God is the one that caused the violent sea, and then eventually God is the one that authorized the fish or the whale to come up and to eat Jonah. And so as we read through chapter 2 of Jonah, it said that, then Jonah prayed to the Lord his God from inside the fish. He said, I cried out to the Lord in my great trouble, and he answered me. I called to you from the land of the dead, and Lord, you heard me. You threw me into the ocean depths, and I sank down to the heart of the sea. The mighty waters engulfed me. I was buried beneath your wild and stormy waves. Then I said, O Lord, you have driven me from your presence, yet I will look once more toward your holy temple. I sank beneath the waves, and the waters closed over me. Sea wrapped itself around my head. I sank down to the very roots of the mountains. I was imprisoned in the earth, whose gates locked shut forever. But you, O Lord, my God, snatched me from the jaws of death. As my life was slipping away, I remembered the Lord, and my earnest prayer went out to you in your holy temple. Those who worship false gods turn their backs on all God's mercies, but I will offer sacrifices to you with songs of praise, and I will fulfill all my vows, for my salvation comes from the Lord alone. Then the Lord ordered the fish to spit Jonah out onto the beach. And if the worship team can come back up and we start playing song number 4, please. God's mercy. That even though we may have decided to do our own thing and say, Lord, I don't really care what you're saying, I'll tell you what I'll do. God is still merciful to us, you know. And you can see that when he recognized that, you know what, my life is now slipping away from him, because he was going to drown. Had he been thrown, he was thrown into the sea, he was going to drown and die. But God was gracious and merciful to send through the what? To send through the fish. And it's in through that episode that he yielded to God's will. He admitted that there were idols in his life that robbed him of the blessings of God. And see, an idol is anything that takes away from God the affection and obedience that rightfully only belong to him. So there are things that only God should have. He will not accept anything else but him. But also the idol for Jonah was his intense patriotism, where he said, Lord, I'm an Israelite. Never will I go and preach to the Assyrians based on all the things that they've done to us. So he was more concerned for the safety and prosperity of his own nation, that he refused to be God's messenger to their enemies, the Assyrians. Now, I don't know about you, but God has spoken to you about something, you know, and normally when God speaks to you, it's not going to be through a loud voice. There's just a prompting that happens in your heart. And you sometimes ask yourself, ooh, what was that? Was that just me? But it's God saying, speaking to you, tapping on the door of your heart to say, this is what I want you to do. And you can see through this story the mercy and the grace of God, that even though we may have turned our back on him and decided to do things our own way, the will of God will always prevail in our lives. So what we want to be is to be those people that quickly make a decision to say, God, not my will, but your will. And if we can all stand this morning as we finish. And I'd like to ask this question. If God has been speaking to you about something, whatever that might be, how long have you been to wrestle with the Lord? The calamitous thing for Jonah was that his disobedience nearly led to the destruction of so many other people, of so many sailors on that boat, had it not been for God's grace. And the truth is that, you see, I want to hone in on that point where Jonah disobeyed God, went onto the ship, and he caused potential destruction for other people. Sometimes when we just make the decision to walk away from the things that God has asked us to do, it's going to take you backwards a few years. It's going to take your family back a few more years. It will cause some level of pain in your life or in your family's life. And so that question again is, am I Jonah? Am I one that fights against the will of God? You know, and sees the will of God as something that is too cumbersome, something that chokes me? Or am I going to be like Jesus, who said, Lord, not my will, but your will be done? And so with every eye closed and head bowed, we're going to give an opportunity for people that have never made a decision to say, I haven't even made the decision to say, Lord, I want to follow you. That I want to lay down my life and pick up the life that you want me to have. But also for us who are called children of God, you know, who know the Lord, is that where are we? Are we being obedient to the will of God in your life? There's going to be an opportunity that we'll give at the end to just come and we'll pray for people who live where you're making a stand, where you're saying, Lord, I know that you've spoken something over my life. You've said something that I have been fighting. And you could be fighting because you are very self-conscious. You are intimidated by, Lord, I don't know. We start to give all the plausible excuses. Oh, I can't speak. Lord, I'm too nervous. Not realizing that you carry a message that God has placed each and every one. He has given a ministry to each and every one. And there are problems that we are the solutions for, that God has specifically created problems that only you can solve. The question is always going to be our willingness to want to be partnering with God to do that. And so, we can all pray after me. Heavenly Father, thank you for sending Jesus to die for me on the cross. Jesus, thank you for showing me the way to live a life dedicated to God and following in His paths. I repent of my sin, and I promise this day, Lord, to walk in your will and your ways all the days of my life. In Jesus' name, amen.